Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our joy to have you join us each day by way of radio broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you in person. We've met a number of times on the air down through the years, and we invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church on Sunday. And Sunday worship is 9:30 for Bible study and 10:45 for morning worship, 7 p.m. on Sunday evening for evening worship, and we'd like to invite you to come and join us any one of those times of worship service. We're looking forward to it. Today on this broadcast, we're going to be covering something that I think that all of us should have a vital interest in, and I invite you to jot the number down if you don't already have the number, and dial in at any point in time during the course of this broadcast, 904-401-1413. 904-401-1413 is the number that you can call and join in the dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about today putting the Bible back in the classroom. Putting the Bible back in the classroom. And as a result of this broadcast, I pray that you will be motivated to contact our legislators, to contact those in Tallahassee, encourage them to co-sponsor the bill, encourage them to vote for the bill. I understand that there's some pushback in those that have introduced some of these bills. We're going to be talking about them today, talking about two or three of them, but in primary, we'll be talking about the Bible back in the classroom. But ladies and gentlemen, today, I want to remind you that when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of your philosophy or mine. It's not a matter of denominational distinctive. It's what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say in relationship to the issues of life? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's in John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 17:17, Jesus made a powerful statement that I think that we ought to look up and recognize and understand what he is really saying. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Speaking of God's word, the word of God, it's truth. It's not just a little tidbit of truth occasionally. It's not just where you find truth partially. It is the totality of truth. And it's because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so Jesus is the truth. The word of God is God's word. Therefore, it is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, today we had the privilege, some of you perhaps watched it by way of television, we had the privilege of watching our president, President Trump, at the National Prayer Breakfast. This is his third National Prayer Breakfast that he's spoken at. And he spoke this morning, and he talked about our American heritage founded on faith in the family. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's the very foundation, the very bedrock of our nation today. But this foundation of this bedrock of faith and family that will destroy the future is being attacked by the left-wing liberals from local, state, and national political, if you please, venues and channels. But I want us to understand some of these things that are taking place. It's so horrific. It's tearing down faith and family, destroying the future of our nation. New York and Virginia and other states, about six other states. But I think they're racing to see who can be at the top of the most horrendous infanticide laws that you could think of. New York State, as you know, Cuomo had a time of rejoicing with those pro-abortionists around him, and even had the major tower in New York City lighted in pink, celebrating the signing of the bill. And the bill that was signed would allow murder by way of abortion right up to the birth of the baby. That's nothing but infanticide. That is barbaric. There's not another nation on the globe that will kill its young as we have decided to do in America. But the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, across America, we also have those that are God-fearing legislators. We have about 8 states that either have already passed into law, are now debating bills that will allow the Bible to be taught once again in the public school classrooms. I'm thankful for that. It was back in 1962 and 63. Perhaps you recall that. Perhaps you were alive at the time. Perhaps you watched some of the shenanigans taking place when that was happening. But when Madeline Murray O'Hara was successful in having prayer and Bible taken out of the classroom, the U.S. Supreme Court rendered an opinion. And by the way, when the U.S. Supreme Court renders something, it's not a decision. It's an opinion. It's the opinion of the court. And so, therefore, as the opinion was rendered, it literally took Bible out of the classroom and prayer out of the classroom. And many say today that it is an impossibility to have Bible back in the classroom. But that's not what is true. That is not the story. That is absolute fact. So as we understand it, we need to understand that the Bible can be taught in the classroom. The Bible is absolutely factual and not fiction. And as a result of that, we need to recognize today, ladies and gentlemen, that we have several states. In fact, I believe there's about 8 that's attempting to pass the legislation to put Bible back in the classroom. Some have already put the Bible back in the classroom. And the Bible and prayer in the public schools is not unconstitutional. It is not illegal. And there are some that say that there's that wall of separation of church and state, and therefore you cannot teach Bible in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to understand that it's neither unconstitutional nor is it against the law. There's no place in the Constitution where we find the term separation of church and state or any type of religious separation. And when it comes to the fact of placing the Bible back in the classroom, I think it's so vital. I think it is needful to do so because here's an article, Educational Expert says, removing the Bible and prayer from the public school has caused decline in the classroom. Educational expert William Janes said that there is a correlation between the decline of U.S. public schools and the U.S. Supreme Court. In 1962 and 63, their decision that said school-sponsored prayer reading, prayer and Bible reading, was unconstitutional. One can argue that some have that decision, and they think that that decision by the Supreme Court is true. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that what has taken place by the removing of Bible in the classroom, Jenny said in his research on the subject, academic achievement has plummeted, including SAT scores. Increased rate of out-of-wedlock births have increased. Increase in illegal drug use, increase in juvenile crime, the deterioration of school behavior. So he says here, and I quote, so we see the real and realize that these actions do have consequences. He's the professor at California State College in Long Beach and senior fellow at Witherspoon Institute in Princeton, New Jersey. He says, when we remove the moral fiber and the moral emphasis in the classroom, that's what can result as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's a need to put the Bible back in the classroom. And I'm thankful, I'm delighted that we have this taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can have in our public classrooms teaching of homosexuality, transgenderism and gender identity, the acceptance of the LGBTQ agenda, and all kinds of deviant sexual acts, if we can teach Islamic prayers and Hinduism in the public school classroom, if we can teach socialism and the advocacy for the anti-American agenda, then certainly we ought to teach Bible, putting Bible back in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court ruling in 1963, a footnote in that ruling said this, and may I quote, the Bible is worthy of study for its literary and historic qualities when presented objectively as part of a program of education. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Representative Kimberly McDaniels is attempting to do. Representative McDaniels has introduced a bill in the House Bill 195, that will put Bible back in the classroom. I'm delighted to have Representative Daniels with us today on Let's Face the Issues. We welcome her to the microphone to Let's Face the Issues. Welcome, Representative Daniels, today. Glad to have you on Let's Face the Issues.
How you doing, Reverend Youngblood? It's a blessing to be on today. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Thank you so much for taking time. I understand from your administrative assistant this morning that you had been trapped in committee meetings all morning. We're thankful that you've taken time out of your wonderful schedule and pressurized schedule. I've been there, walked through those hallways, and understand what you're faced with when committee meetings, et cetera, but I'm thankful that you've taken time out to join us on Let's Face the Issues today. Kimberly, I want you to introduce yourself. Some of our listeners may not have met you. We've had the privilege of knowing you for years and years and years now, and neither of us are more than 20 years old, 25 years old maybe, but nevertheless, I'm thankful for what you mean to us as conservatives here in Jacksonville, Florida. We had the privilege, and we're grateful for your service and leadership during your years on the city council, and you're working with us on some moral issues and helped fight the battle. So I want you to take a moment just freely and share with our listeners who you are, what your passions are, why are you in political leadership, and what you want to accomplish. Then we want to take a minute or two and talk about your bill.
Okay, well, you know, I am a former at-large council member. They would call that commissioners in other cities of Jacksonville, Florida. And I am the current state representative of District 14 out of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm here in Tallahassee now, working and walking the halls of the Capitol. And I am a believer that being in a position like this is a calling. It's not just something you just do because it looks prestigious or people get into political offices for all kinds of reasons. My reason is that I believe that I'm called to do it.
Amen.
I've written 22 books. I've traveled to over 35 nations. You know, I am a minister, and this is not something that I plan to do. But when you go down that straight and narrow, and you go down the road that God calls you to go down, you'll be surprised at some of the ways that he would take you. I never would have thought that I would be a member of the House of Representatives, but this is my second term in Tallahassee. The first year I did the bill for religious liberty to put prayer back into the schools. Last year I did the bill for In God We Trust so that it can be conspicuously displayed. And now we have House Bill 195, which is very simple. It is where Bible courses will be introduced to 9th through the 12th grade as an elective.
Kimberly, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Let me read you a very brief article for you and our listeners to hear. President Trump tweets support for Bible in the classrooms. The question is asked, should Bibles be studied in the public classroom? And he goes on to say several states are pushing Bible literacy bills this year. And President Donald Trump just tweeted he thinks it is, quote, great. And then he goes on to say Florida, Indiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Virginia, West Virginia are seeking Bible study classes. And that I think is wonderful. In fact, I want the world to know that our president has said, in essence, I am for Bible in the classrooms. And so I want to Kimberly, I want our listeners to understand how appreciative we need to be, especially as conservatives, as Christians, as moms and dads and grandparents, that our kids in the classroom will have the opportunity on an elective basis to study the Word of God. But I understand there are a lot of folks that are a little upset with it. Let me just allow you, if you will, Representative, I'm looking at your bill. It's less than two full pages. And tell our listeners, step by step, two, three, four things that this bill will allow.
Well, actually, it's not public yet, but there is a substitute to the bill. And to know the details of everything that the bill allows, we can look at the legislation that they passed in Kentucky. We took my language and removed it, and we call that a substitute. We took all of my language out And we put the language from Kentucky in there because that was some strong language, and there were no issues and lawsuits, and it passed. And so we went along with that. And basically, it's just a study of the Bible. I mean, it's nothing deep. You know, you can't make it more than what it is, you know, Greek, Hebrew, history, you know, Bible classes, Bible courses. Like I took when I was in the 11th grade, I wasn't even a believer then. And I took a Bible course at Rebalt Senior High School. It was an elective. And I don't know, I guess they snuck it out without any attention to it, but I don't remember when it was removed. And that's what happened. The Bible says that the enemy creeps in unawares, and he come in when we're sleeping. And I believe that just talking about everything in general, it's time for the church to wake up, and it's time for us to stand. And, you know, you have people representing different agendas that are not biblical, that don't line up with what we believe. They're very, very bold about it. They can say whatever they want to say. Nobody says anything about it. But soon
That's
as
right.
you say
That's
Jesus,
right.
as soon as you say something, you know, I mean, a lot of people, they're kind of shaken because, you know, they want to put me in a box because I'm a black female a Democrat. And so I just don't fit their idea. But, you know, God's ways are bigger than their ideas. I don't fall into anybody's plan. I fall into his plan. And so I've learned a lot being a preacher and coming into being an elected official. I have learned some balance, and I've learned to, you know, some things that I was, you know, I'm still radical, but I just learned balance on how to get things done. Because there's a lot of people yelling, making a lot of noise, but they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. I can be very zealous, but I'm here to get things done for my community. And no matter what I do, where I'm elected, where I go, I'm going to always represent the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's the way it should be. And I'm delighted to hear you articulate that. In fact, I'm thankful. And when you talk about the bill out of Kentucky, it was House Bill 128 in Kentucky, and Matt Bevins, the governor, signed that June 13th of 2018. And it is a little broader than your bill, but it says exactly the same thing. And basically, it's an objective study of religion, an objective study of the Bible, including but not limited to a course of Hebrew Scriptures and Old Testament of the Bible, course of New Testament and in the Scripture, and the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament of the Bible, and the New Testament. A study may not be required, but can be an elective for the students. That's the key that I want our listeners to understand, Representative Daniels, that this is not something that's mandated where everybody's going to have to take it, but it's an elective that parents and the students can determine. The Bible is very, very clear in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, and the seventh verse in particular. It speaks of the fact that we're to teach our children diligently, and that our children are going to be taught as we wake up, as we sit down, as we walk during the day. And I think many parents are failing to do that and failing to recognize the need for it. The article I read by way of monologue and introduction about the decline that we're finding in the public schools as a result of leaving God out. But I'm thankful that states like Georgia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Alabama, Arizona, North Dakota, and now Florida. There's about seven or eight states that either have passed the bill or in the process of passing a bill that would allow Bible to be taught in the classroom. And I want our listeners to understand that you are spearheading that, and you're getting, you can't say this perhaps, but I can for you, you're getting blasted, as I call it, on all sides, from conservatives and from liberals, because of your stand for God and stand for the Word of God being taught in the classroom. Here's a headline, if you don't mind me reading these for our listeners, Representative Daniels. Florida lawmaker, demon buster, and exorcist wants to mandate Bible study in the public schools, wanting to mandate it. They're ill-worded in that. Another one says, bill would force Florida public schools to offer Bible in religious classes. Another article says, Florida lawmaker files bill to make Bible study an elective in the public schools. Kimberly, tell us something about, and you don't have to name the representatives, but is it a fact, as I understand it, that you'd love to have some more co-sponsors on this bill?
Well, listen, I got to get to work because I got plenty co-sponsors in the I don't know what you can call it, but they haven't been loose yet, but they're in the computer. They've already requested. We're going to have plenty co-sponsors on this.
Wonderful.
Bill. So, we have so much support on this bill. And so, you know, it's the media's job, you know. It's the liberal media, you know, fake news. That's what they do. when they do stuff like saying mandate, force, make, you know, I mean, you know, what all do we get mandated and forced on us? You know, you can't even express yourself in a place where we're supposed to have First Amendment rights. But this bill is a deal breaker, and it's one that draws the line so that for Christians who have sat back and made excuses, there's no room for excuses anymore, because this is clearly a bill that gives you a choice. It is an option. It is an elective, and they are still crying. So there are people, they want to give folks the choice to do whatever they feel like they want to do, but they don't want to give a child a choice. And that's what it is. It's about a choice, and everybody's blowing up choice. Why can't they have a choice to have a Bible class in school? And I know why, because we are not dealing with flesh and blood. And guess what? The Demon Buster, you got it right. I'm that girl. Okay, guess what? I accept it. I receive it. Thank you for the compliment. Because the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they cast out devils. You know, so I mean, that's a part of what I do. You know, but I'm a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. And I love the Lord. And my word to the church is that what they have to do is, when these haters, because that's what they are, they hate God, they hate anything that's right, and they always support wrong. When these haters attack people like me on the front lines, don't get with them. You know, everything you see in the newspaper, I promise you, it's been fabricated.
That's right.
You notice that every charge, a lie, or whatever they put against me in the media, it always happens when I bring a bill out. It always happens when I come up against something that they don't like. And you know
You're
what?
Right.
It's just another stone in my crown. And Christians, believers, the body of Christ, we need to wake up. You know, my God, if you can't pray for me, who you gonna pray for? You know,
amen.
I'm on the front lines, and I'm telling you, and we may disagree about this a little bit, but you know, sometimes people are very prejudiced. You know,
That's right. And
I receive a lot of prejudices and a lot of you know, people treating me different. On the Republican side, don't get me wrong, I get a lot of support. I'm talking about the general public that will pick up a paper and say, "Oh, she stole money." That stuff ain't happening. We don't need to be distracted. You know, either I'm called by God and He sent me to do what I'm doing, or He didn't. I need your support. Let's not be distracted.
Amen.
You know, because God put me here.
What I want to say on your behalf, Representative Daniels, ladies and gentlemen, we are interviewing Kimberly Daniels, representative of District 14, as a Florida State Representative member, House of Representatives. And I'm thankful that she's introduced House Bill 195 in the House. I'm prayerful that it will be passed. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is how it doesn't make any difference if there's an R behind the name or a D behind the name. What we're looking for as a Christian community, ladies and gentlemen, ought to be looking for people like Kimberly Daniels, that is a representative for God first and for our state and our city, for the state of Florida. I'm thankful that she's taking a stand. And yes, she's exactly right. Anytime we stand for good, anytime we stand for God, anytime we stand for truth, anytime we stand for the Bible, we're going to have the enemies come out of the woodworks to somehow, some way demean and try to tear down and destroy. But Jesus said, "Don't you dare worry." I'm paraphrasing. "Don't you dare worry. If you find that the world hates you, remember it hated me first." And so one of the things that we need to understand in a lesson for us today is that we need to pray for Kimberly Daniels, pray that God will give her victory, and not just victory for her bill and for herself as a legislator, but victory for every Christian in the state of Florida, that we will have the privilege, every Christian, not only Christian, but also conservatives in general, that we will have the privilege of having our sons and our daughters, our grandkids, having the Bible open to them in the classroom setting to teach, if nothing else, Bible is history. And Kimberly, I don't know about you, but I can testify for our listeners that when I was growing up, in the classrooms in public school, first thing every morning, we would stand and read the Bible. The teacher would always give us an assignment the day before. We had to memorize a verse. We'd stand and quote that verse in front of the classroom. We would have prayer, and the teacher would lead in prayer. I'd call on one of the students to lead in prayer. Then we'd have a pledge to the flag. That was not unusual. That's what we grew up with. And because we're not finding that today, we're finding a diminishing of morals and ethics and values and biblical truth and homes and hearts of our present generation and future generations, unless we do exactly what you've done. I am thankful for the stand that you've taken and introducing that bill. Representative Daniels, we've got just a few more minutes left on this broadcast, about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Would you take some time simply to share with our listeners, if you feel free to do so, anything else that's taking place that you have introduced or that you're sponsoring or co-sponsoring that you feel free? I don't want to put you in a box, but if you're free to talk about it, then we need to be able to pray with you on and ask God to bless it and to use it and to allow it to be passed.
Well, I don't want to get into particular legislation, but I would like to speak to the body of Christ. You know, this is a very exciting time for believers.
Yes.
You know, when I came, you know, I was by myself, you know, there was no one that I knew that was staying with me that's a Democrat. With the prayer in school, and Representative Williams stood with me side by side, and now we're here in 2019, and we have more. I mean, we are growing. You know, I'm not going to say their names now, but we have about five, maybe six Democrats that are radical about, you know, this and some other issues that are important to the church, important to God, and I'm not saying that other issues aren't important, but everything that people want to disrespect and overlook, and you know, they're diminishing our respect for our country, our respect for God. You know, our children, they don't know how to say yes sir and no ma'am anymore. It's yeah, no. You know, we didn't grow up like that, and I think we need to get back to the basics and provide an atmosphere and in our schools where our children can learn and be safe. It's very important that we understand the opposition. They don't have a good fight. They don't have any good reasons. They just simply, if it has anything to do with God, people are against it. And then there are some Christians or believers who they've always got an excuse of why we can't do nothing, but why we can't do things. But if they keep making excuses and being
yes.
afraid, we'll never get anything done. Oh, well, who's going to teach? Listen, we'll get there when we get there. Let's get the curriculum in place. Well,
amen.
Well, who's going to be teaching it? Listen, you know, when God is, he don't do things halfway. You know, so we need to stop making excuses, crying, and the church has done that for so long. I'm just looking forward to working with brothers and sisters who are
amen.
On fire and excited, and that's the response we're getting from South Florida. Listen, that bill, House Bill 195 is coming straight up I-95. That's what we call it. We call it the I-95 bill.
I think that God has
a sense of humor. The I-95, all the way from the bottom to the top.
Amen. Kimberly, let me read you two headlines that will illuminate what you're saying. Kentucky, with the bill that was passed there last June, the title of this article where the Kentucky Board of Education said this, the Kentucky Board of Education said we're going to keep God and the Bible in the schools. Now, contrary to that, and totally opposite of that, lawsuit has been filed in Huntington Beach, California, to prevent the Bible from being taught in the classroom. The title of the article says, Schools, Kids Can't Share Details of Bible in the Classroom. So that gives you the exact opposite of where we are and what we're doing, and that shows what Satan is doing and trying to tear down and destroy, as you said. Representative Daniels, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you today. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on board with us on Let's Face the Issues, and I pray that our listeners will listen up and will pray and ask God to give victory in House Bill 195, putting the Bible back in our classrooms. Thank you so much, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.